להסביר לבין שליחס האחום. הוא חושב שם הוא סוגסט that just as there's no שליחס for an אחום, so too there would be no כניחוצת an אחום. All the time the כניחוצת is based on שליחס. And this is just kind of just following the footsteps of the Gemara in Masechus Bamitzia, where the Gemara says that if you hold that chatzur is mishum shlichos, so just as there's no shlichos for a katan, there's no chatzur for a katan, and the Tzai said it's not true. The Tzai showed me from Gemara, so thinks it's not true. And conceptually, he tried to explain away. We said at the end of the show yesterday, why this should be so. The question really becomes, what does this really matter for us? Does it really make any difference whether a goy has a kiddush chatzur? John and Jim and Joe, they're not asking shaylas and beating them up on this for us. They couldn't care less what the Tzai said about the Zevach say. Why do we care whether a goy has a kiddush chatzur? So the Tzai makes a major point in this in terms of a very, very real shayla, halacha l'maase shayla. And the truth is that the original shayla that the Rishonim were discussing is not the most common shayla of Zman Hazeh, but the principles that the Rishonim developed in the sugya very, very much play out for us, halacha l'maase, each and every year. The shayla was as follows. The conceptual shayla, then we'll get to the practical, but the conceptual shayla was, if a Jew wants to transfer ownership on the metaltalin to a goy, how in the world does he go about doing that? Now, why does that interest us? Who cares? If at the end of the day, if I have a store and if I buy something, who cares whether the kidney was chabakas or sheep or cost? I don't know, that's the difference. So the difference is in the realm of this that they have there. Every once in a while, you have an area of halacha where it's very, very important to know who precisely is the owner of this given object. Very real nafkaminas in terms of isavet or chaim in your day. Depends upon the Chesh Mishpat. Who is Tachlis the Bailer of this item? So the original question that the Rishonim were discussing is in the realm of Hilchos Bechor, the Zalacha, that they own an animal, the animal gives birth, and the firstborn Zohar, Kadosh Likud Bechor, the animal has Kedushas Bechor to it. That did apply even Bizman Hazeh, even though we don't have a base in Mikdash, so we can't offer the Bechor as a carbon, but in terms of the Kedusha, in terms of the Isser of the Bechor, still applies Bizman Hazeh. And therefore, if I have a firstborn animal, I can't work with it, I can't shear it, I can't use it for anything, I can't shecht it. I have to wait until it gets a mum. It's a big, but like a big, big, big hassle what to do with the Bechor Bizman Hazeh. So to avoid any shayles of Bechor Bizman Hazeh, the Gemara and the Rishonim, the Gittim HaSefes Bechor, strongly recommend that in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, we have nothing to gain by having Bechors running around. We have everything to lose. People can violate Yisurim. Therefore, we would recommend something that we would normally not recommend. Normally, we don't like to get around doing mitzvahs. We like to do mitzvahs. We don't like to avoid mitzvahs. Our goal in this world is to do as many mitzvahs as we can, not to figure out punsim, how to get around doing mitzvahs. But here, we encourage people to almost get around the mitzvah b'chor, because there's nothing positive. There is no mitzvah b'zman hazeh. All you have is nebuch hazisurim. So what do? You sell part of the animal to a goy before the animal gives birth, because the first mishnah says b'cheres, and then the second berach b'cheres, we'll speak about this halacha. It's called yad akam be'emtza. Anytime that a goy has any share, either in the ownership of the mother or in the ownership of the vlad of the baby, of the fetus, before it's born, that's a potif for b'chor. The Torah says, kashri b'yisura. The only time there's a din b'chor is it's totally 100% Jewish-owned animal, Jewish-owned fetus. If the goy is any yad v'em, so that's the point there. So we make believe, we come up with this idea of circumventing conditions b'chor b'zman hazeh. We sell part of the animal to a goy. This has already been the practice for hundreds of thousands and thousands of years. This is the practice in Klal Yisrael. This was such a common part of just moment of halacha. Every rav had to be aware of how to do this. People had farms, people had animals, mice and b'chol yoyim. Interesting, if you ever want to take a look and get like a little bit of a quasi-historical understanding as to what areas of halacha were very prevalent, what were common shayles that were asked, anyone know was a good sefer to look at? The sefer Pischa Tshuva. If you take a look in the bottom of Shulchan Aruch, Pischa Tshuva gives you like a little assortment of different shayles that came up in any given din in Shulchan Aruch. So the areas of halacha that were very, very, very common shayles asked, get very, very, very big paragraphs. The areas of halacha that are very, very few shayles asked get very, very small paragraphs. So it's interesting, there are actually two areas of halacha that stand out and sociologically, economically, have radically changed in the last 150 years. And the Pischa Tshuva in Yerodeya, in the end of third chedek of Yerodeya, about the Sivanah, about Bechor Behemoth Tahora, are loaded with shayles and tshuvas. Every line is these long, long, long Pischa Tshuvas, these tremendously long tshuvas, about all the nuances that a farmer owned an animal. He forgot to sell it to the guy. He did sell it. He's not sure he sold it to the guy. He took it. Didn't have every possible permit. Every crazy shaila comes up. In the 1700s and the 1800s in Europe, these were common shalas. People owned farms. People owned animals. Bizman has that. How many shalas of b'chor behemot do you think come up? In Eretz Yisrael, you get a few of them, but in Chutz La'aretz, you get almost none. Once in a blue moon, you get a shalah of b'chor behemot. We had actually in yeshiva, when I first came to yeshiva, anyone here knows Rabbi Weil from LA? Okay, so Rabbi Weil and I were roommates back in my first year in my life. Rabbi Weil came from a farm in upstate New York, in Lindenville, New York, Jewish population of five. Him, his parents, his brother, and his grandmother. Five Jews lived in Lindenville, New York, and he came to the high school. I became friends with the high school in New York, and sent them up down here, I guess you could say. And then we were together in Mayu. So his father owned the cattle business. So when they became aware of these halachas, so I remember at the time, this was back over 30 years ago, so Rabbi Alper, one of the Rosh Hashivas here, many years ago, so Rabbi sat down and actually worked out a shtar mechira in order to be matir all the b'chor issues that they had on their farm, in order to set up the system properly. Shouldn't run into any b'chor shaylas. So that was the last time that we had a positive b'chor shaylas. Very uncommon shaylas. In the old days, it was very common. The other area of Shulchan Aruch also was very, very common years ago. Baruch Hashem is not as common anymore. It was the din of agunas, in the sense of husbands would disappear and they find bodies and people die. You know, Nebuchadnezzar, you had crusades and pogroms and all kind of crazy things going on, so people were disappearing right and left. So you had loads and loads and loads of Simon Yud Zayin. Nebuchadnezzar was packed with Shalos from Baruch Hashem. Maybe everyone should be healthy and safe. Nebuchadnezzar after September 11th, so they had to try to reconstruct certain Shalos of Zaguna, so they had to go back to Nebuchadnezzar Yud Zayin. It's a hundred years, a lot of wars, and people were disappearing all the time. It was very hard to identify bodies and kind of stuff. Communications were so schwach, so it was very, very prevalent to everybody. Anyway, getting back to our story. So the Rishonim raised a question: if the whole goal is to get around the Chutz B'chor, so we have to make sure that the animal that we sell to the goy really truly belongs to the goy. Now, how are you going to do that exactly? The guy can have 500 animals. The guy is going to come and take every one of the animals. It's very hard to do that. So we have to come up with some logistical solution. How are we going to be mocking the animal to the guy in a very, very simple, easy way to hereby circumvent any issues of the Bechor? That was the dilemma already that exists in the days of Rishon. So what made this issue complicated is that we're not quite sure how do we sell things to the guy. What kinyan? You know, there's a whole pasha. Actually, this was pasha. How do you sell things to goyim? Just give me a mechanism. Give me logistically. How does the halacha declare that this item no longer is the Jews and now belongs to the goyim? So what's the answer to that question? There's one fundamental answer to that question. How do you go about selling metalton to a goy? What would your response be if I asked you that question? So you shouldn't answer one thing. What you should answer is the follows. You should answer with a question. I'm going to say to you, tell me, how do you sell metalton to a goy? What should your response be? Tell me, how do you sell metalton to a Jew? Okay, that should be your response. Now, you would think that my next response would be, okay, great. As soon as I figure out what works for a Jew, so then I know it works for goy. What's your response? What? V'nafechu, the exact opposite. The Torah says, v'chisim kum mimkal abisecha. If you learn the second part of the Torah, it's the following drasha. Abisecha means, the following is the way you sell things to a Jew, and that's only to a Jew. But to a goy, the opposite is true. Whatever kinyan works between Jews does not work between Jews and goyim. Whatever kinyan does not work between two Jews does work between Jews and goyim. Very, very strange halacha. That's what says Rashi in the Gemara in the Sefer Becheres. That's the drash of Abisecha. So in order to answer the question, what method of acquisition can we use between Jews and goyim, we have to first learn the sugya, what method of acquisition we can use between Jews and Jews. So what's the answer to that question? Good answer. Okay, odds are you're probably right. So way back in Maseches Bavitzia, Dafin Vav, Zion, the Gemara calls it Machlekes Rav Yechon and Rishlokish. Mamish the ABCs. I go into a store and I want to buy a bag of potatoes. How do I do that? The Torah doesn't say explicitly how to do that. Every scenario of kinyonim is spelled out somewhere in the halacha. Let's say Lamashal, when you want to be kinyan isha, you learn Maseches Kedushin. So you have to find psukim. So it's a pasuk for kasev, a pasuk for shtar, a pasuk for bia. and you want to buy Eved Ivri, it must Psukim, and Eved Kayim with Psukim, Karka with Psukim. The Talpalin, the Torah is silent on, almost silent, and doesn't tell us how do you acquire a Talpalin. So Rabbi Yechon Shlomo is all of a sudden waking up now and thinking, like, what happened? How do you buy a Talpalin? So Rabbi Yechon came up with an unbelievable, in a bad way, it's a Valky Chiddush. Rabbi Yechon says, I'm Rabbi Yechon, Dvar Torah, most kindness. Nina Torah, you buy potatoes by giving cash. And you know what the Gemara doesn't say? The Gemara doesn't ask the obvious question.
Wait,
did
you put it
in the fruit? But not immediately. How did it come from? Again, we're talking about two Jews. But not immediately. How do you know Vishdeit? So the Rishonim start scrambling around looking for Pesukim. Anyone know what the Makaris are? It's an aside. It's an introduction to the introduction. But the Makar, B'yechem, B'yechem, the Torah is Kedis. Vishdeit and the Chumash. So Rashi says in Bav Metzia, he quotes the passage of this week's parasha. It says in this week's parasha, Bashmi Chakosai, when you want to redeem Hekdesh, how do you redeem Hekdesh? What do you do? And also the Kesef, the Torah says you get Kesef, so something belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. I want to buy it back from the Beis HaMikdash. So I get cash, I get the value. So the method of pigeon Hekdesh is through Kesef. Rashi asks, what is a pigeon Hekdesh? Pigeon Hekdesh is just a very fancy type of a what? Of Kinyon Kesef. I'm buying it from the Beis HaMikdash, just as pigeon Hekdesh. So Rashi says, Mali kainim in a hekdesh, Mali kainim in a hedyay. So according to Rashi, the mokka that I walk into a Jewish store, I walk at the Glad Express, and I want to buy, what do I buy at Glad Express? I know. Oh, Lazy Bean. Okay, who is from Tinek? I go into Lazy Bean Cafe, and I want to buy myself a milkshake. So how do I do that? So I'm Rabbi Yechon Vetar Mos Kodesh. Why? Just as if I would go to the treasury of the Beis HaMikdash and say, I want to buy that car back that somebody was makdish, I would give cash. V'nosan ha-kesef, shteit l'chomish. So too, when I buy a milkshake, v'nosan ha-kesef. That's Rashi's pshat in Rabbi Yechon. Okay, it's a startling pshat, because one could argue, Mali hektish, Mali hedjot, not so simple. That's Rashi's pshat. So the riff is another pshat. The Vatar Mos Kodesh, what the riff says? Where did Vatar Mos Kodesh come from? It's a kal v'chomer. Chomer from who? From where? If you could purchase the person's goof with kesef, what does that mean, to purchase the person's goof? Eved Ivri, you could buy an Eved Ivri with kesef, kal v'chomer. You could buy his milkshake with kesef. That's the riff pshat. Wow. You know what the Ramban says? Anyone know? Anyone can guess? I set you up with the Ramban. The Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yechon, and Vatar Mos Kodesh, and the Gemara doesn't ask not immediately. So after Rishonim said, oh, the Gemara doesn't ask, well, we're going to ask, and we're going to find. So Rashi found this pasuk, we found this pasuk. You know what the Ramban of Gedok? The Ramban says, if the Gemara didn't ask, that's indicative of the fact that there is no pasuk. There's no pasuk. What is it? It must be a svar. What's the svar? What's the svar pshuta? It makes sense. How well? Take a survey of 100 people and ask them, how do you buy a bag of potatoes? You go to the store, you pay cash. Imagine trying to ask, asking someone who never opened up a Gemara book and seen in his life, don't tell me, how do you clean this on the potatoes? You get in line, and you pay, give the guy $2. The potatoes are yours. You need a great PhD in higher economics. How do you buy potatoes? That's what the Ramban says. That's a svar pshuta. There is no possibility. The absence of a possibility is a svar pshuta min ha-Torah. So this is all b'das Rabbi Yechonim. So Rish Lakish disagreed with the whole story. You know why? Rish Lakish says, why do you drain your cup and tell me it's a possible for Pidyon Hekdesh, a possible for Yavid Ivri, it's a smart. It's a possible for Chumash and Parshas Bahar. The Chisim Keru, Mimkar La'amisecha, O Kanoi, what's the next word? Miyad Amisecha. Miyad Amisecha is obviously talking about items that are sold Miyad Liyad. We're not talking about Kaptu, we're not talking about Dabar Nikta Miyad Liyad. So Zok Rish Lakish, not only does the phrase Miyad Amisecha define for us the Cheftza of Metalflin that the Pasuk is talking about, but it even tells us the Derech HaKinyon as well. Miyad Amisecha means the Derech HaKinyon is to be Moise, what? Miyad Liyad. When you hand it over to somebody else, what's that called? It's called Meshicha, or it's called Hagbo, or it's called Mesira. Those three Kinyonim are pretty much the same. There are nuances of differences. Hagbo is picking you up, and Meshicha is dragging, Mesira is handing over the reins. The Mishnayos and the Gemaras and later in the end of the first part of tradition explain that depending on what the normal derech is, if it's normal to the Mashiach knows that, but those are just, you know, details should be details. But we call it Mashiach just as a general, kinyan quality called Mashiach. It means it's a physical handing over of the item. That's what Mashiach is. Again, what type of physical handing over, you have to depend on the item per item. So, Kodesh Lachashim says,
is teaching me the Derech HaKinyan as well, to which Rabbi Yehuda would respond, no, it's not. The Arabi Sech is just defining the Heftza of what you're buying. How do you buy it? Ayin Rashi, Ayin Rif, Ayin Ravan. But in terms of the Derech HaKinyan, there's no mention of the Masa Yishlach. It happens to be that Rabbi Yehuda Lamaisa concedes to Rishlach. At the end of the day, even if Yerichan agrees that the tachlis way to purchase items was about as through Mashiach, not through Kesef. Why is that? Well, the Mishnah says that Beferish. The Mishnah, the fourth paragraph of Mamitzia, says Beferish that Mashiach is cut and not Kesef. So how does Rabbi Yerichan explain that Mishnah? So Rabbi Yerichan has a famous statement, Rabbi Yerichan, about Torah Mos Kainas, Ella B'Pnei Ma'om R'Chachobim Kesef Mos Even Kainas, Kizeh Rishab Yerichan Mitzvah Chetech Abeliyah. That Chazal were afraid that if we follow the Din Deraisa, maybe dealing with honest, nice, good people, so we should follow the Din Deraisa. But not everyone's so honest and good. So what's going to happen? I'm going to sell you a lot of grain, and you're going to give me the money for the grain. So now, technically speaking, if I turn most goodness, the grain is yours. And now fire breaks out in the granary. I'm not going to do anything about it. Why? Why should I help you? I have what? I got the cash. You can't back out from the sale anyway. Well, I don't care. I'm not going to bother putting out the fire. So Rabbi Yechon says that's not a nice thing to do. So therefore, to make sure that the Meicher doesn't act in an immoral and unethical way, we're going to say to the Meicher, listen, Kol's mind that the fellow has in Mamish taking the grain, he can back out from the deal. Because with the Rabbanu, we have Mavkiyazah and the Kirin Kiasef. So with the Rabbanu, we're going to follow, in effect, the Shlachish standards. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda and Shlachish are both looking at the same Mishnah. The facts on the ground are Mashiach is Kainan. Shechon Aruch state Mashiach is Kainan. Most is not Kainan. The Machlekes of Rabbi Yehuda and Shlachish was, what was the Din Deraisa? According to Rabbi Shlachish, the Mishnah of Metzia that tells us Kinyan Mashiach is telling us what the Din Deraisa is. According to Rabbi Yehuda, no, the Mishnah is not addressing the Din Deraisa. The Din Deraisa was long gone. That was a former rabbi, Hazel, 100 years ago. That's what the din lamaisa and the rabbanon is. But in a perfect world, with their eyes, there's a theoretical machlekes and the shlokish with the most kinyan in us. So, come to Gemara at the beginning of the second paragraph of Maseches Bechayrus and says that machlekes of Yechem and Shlokish now spills over in terms of goyim. Why? Because according to Yechanan, between two Yisraels, so most are kinyans. According to Shlokish, between two Yisraels, Mashiach is kinyan. Up in between the Yisrael and the Goy, so the Gezeres HaKosov of Amisecha changes everything. According to the Yechanan, Moses is not Kainas for a Goy. What is Kainas? Meshicha. And according to Reish Lakish, what is Kainas? Moses. So this is what interests us now, because we're trying to sell our animals for a Goy. I have 100 animals, and I want to sell them all to a Goy before they're all pregnant. I want to make sure I solve all my Bechor problems. So how do I do that? So according to Reish Lakish, it's really very, very simple to do that. The guy should just come and give me a nickel, give me a pruta, and he's calling the animals and finish. Come on. According to Yechon, it is a pain in the neck to do it. Why? You pull every animal, every bond, because it's been the whole month. By the time he finishes doing Mashiach, the animal's going to be born already. It's a big pain in the neck. So therefore, according to Yechon, we're not so comfortable with how just practically, logistically to do this. Now, how do we paskin the halacha? We follow Rabbi Yechon, follow Rish Lakish. Usually we follow Rabbi Yechon. He has some Rishayim in hell that maybe we follow Rish Lakish. The Gemara of Metzia that sounds almost like we follow Rish Lakish. And other Rishayim said it's not really true. It's not what the Gemara really concludes here. So, the halacha, we treat this as a snake in the demon. We are not really sure how to be kind of items from Goyim, or to be Goyim to be kind of items from Jews. And therefore, we will only be 100% comfortable saying that the item is transferred into the Rishus of the Goy. The both Mashiach and Moses are done, which again may not be the most practical thing to do all the time. So this is the dilemma that the Rishonim had. And the question is, how do you overcome this dilemma? So we have to come up with another eight. So let's come up with another kinyan that's going to be fairly simple to pull off, logistically simple, that's going to cover all of our bases. That's the goal of the Rishonim. So the Rush, did I put the Rush in the Mankamas? Put the Rush up at the Taizan, I read away from them. But Bukhairis and Ibrahim anyway? The Taizan, okay. The Taizan, the Rosh, the Rishayim and Bukhairis came up with another Eitzah, came up with another possibility. What kind of a deal we can make that's going to be great, it's going to be really, really easy. So it happens to be that the transfer ownership of land to a guy is fairly simple. Because here, the Gemara says, the Feirish, that's done through a Kinyan Kesef. It's not Lamisecha. So the answer to that is not Lamisecha. that the friendship between Jews and Goyim only applies to Kidyan Mitalch, and that's what the Pesach is talking about. Kidyan Karka, there is no such thing. So a Goy is kind of a Kesef. The Pharisee Gemara, no Shadad, Gemara Basra, third parak. A Goy is kind of land with Kesef. But I don't want to sell land, I want to sell my animal to a Goy. So how is selling land going to solve the problem? So here is where it starts to get a little bit tricky. The Rishonim say, well, no problem. If you sell the land, the little piece of land, that'd be a big piece, the little piece of land to the Goy, then somehow, hocus pocus, we're going to be able to get ownership transferred on the animal, even though you didn't do a real form of kin in the animal, because we don't even know which kin to make in the animal. But just make sure you sell land, and therefore everything is hunky-dory. So came along the Birchas HaZevach, and was looking at these Rishayim, looking at Tais, looking at the Rosh, and say, well, just how hunky-dory is it? How did this work exactly? What mechanism of kinyan is taking place here? So the Pashtus HaZvarim in the Rishayim was that, well, I'm going to make a kinyan kesef on the land. Which land? Not the land in China. Which land? The land where the animal is. The animal's sitting in my barn. I have 50 animals, they're all sitting in my barn. So what I'll do is, I'll transfer ownership on the land of my barn to the goy, and that's very easy, technically very, very easy. Just give me a proof for the land, that's Gevaldik. And once the goy owns the land, how will I transfer ownership of the animal to the goy? Which kinyan will I invoke? A kinyan chotzer. It's in his land. Once he owns, let's say I would say to you, I'm going to put something in your backyard. So you're going in. So too, I've my animals are placed in your backyard. They're in your backyard. Once the backyard becomes yours, once the barn, once the front yard, once the part of the house becomes yours, you own the chotzer, you own the karka, and the meima, they said, kinyan chotzer will be very, very easy to transfer ownership. That's the Pashas and Barbarusha. So came along the Birchas HaZevach and turned the world upside down. Pooped the Birchas HaZevach and says, that cannot be what the Rishayim mean. That is an impossibility. Why is that an impossibility? That's not going to do the trick. Says the Birchas HaZevach, that zikha not going to work. That's for sure not going to work. Why is it not going to work? Because what kinyan is that? Bad kinyan. Kinyan chotzer. No. The Birchas HaZevach says, the kinyan that the Rishayim are describing sounds like kinyan chotzer. Can't be. Because why can't it be Kinyan Chatzah? No,
yesterday
Shir. Chatzah Bishop and then Shechas the guy, in the same way, Shechas the Kata, I ain't yesterday Shir. So because of that bomb kasha, because the Zevach turned the Rishonim upside down, and said, that's not, you misunderstood, it's not even what they were talking about. What the Rishonim meant was not Kinyan Chatzah, but rather a whole other Kinyan called Kinyan Agav, the Mishnah, Kiddushin Achavav, that if I sell you Karka and Tachlin at the same time, so then I could sell you karka in China and sell you metalphalin in New York, and that's fine. That's not kinyan chotzer. Kinyan chotzer means, first of all, for kinyan chotzer, I don't have to sell you the karka and metalphalin at the same time. As long as you own some of my karka, any metalphalin that's in that karka at any time would be nicknamed to you. So kinyan chotzer doesn't have to be simultaneous, but it has to be in that karka. Kinyan agav has to be simultaneous, but it doesn't what? Doesn't have to be the same karka. So come to Zevach and revamp the Rishayim and said, you learned the wrong kinyan. You learned the Chinese in the Rosh wrong. Rishayim were not discussing kinyan chotzer. They were not going to fly. They were talking about kinyan agav. That's the Pshat of Rishayim. And kinyan agav, come on, I'm alive, I lost it. What's wrong with kinyan agav? So came along the Ketzos and disagreed with the Birchas Zevach on both the Kudus. So continue from the left yesterday, whereas the Birchas Zevach a monkey wrench at us and said, it's not going to work. Kinyan Chatz is not going to work. It's ancient Lichas Liachom. The Tzais already told us yesterday, that's not true. True ancient Lichas Liachom. But when it comes to Kinyan Chatz here, that doesn't concern us. Why? That was the razzle dazzle lumpus of yesterday. Because Duhu Remsum yesterday, what was the whole deficiency of Kinyan of ancient Lichas Liachom? It's a different type of a deficiency than ancient Lichas Liachom. What was the name of the game? What was the magic words of yesterday? Atem Gem Atem. You need that relationship, you need the comparison between Mishalech and Shaliach, and you don't have that comparison when the Mishalech is a Jew and the Shalech is a Goy, or vice versa, but the requirement for that comparison clearly breaks down in Kinyan Chotzer, because Belav Hochi, the Chotzer is an inanimate object, I'm a person, there's no Shaychus, no connection at all between the two of us, and still the Torah says it works. Zemfendor says the Ketzos that the whole bit of Shlichus is not really bound by a Tem Gem Atem, and therefore it's not going to be limited to Jews. That was yesterday. That was the end of the shiur yesterday. So Kupik Tzayson says he doesn't know what the Birchas HaZevach was couldn't believe, couldn't fathom, couldn't be masik
that Kinyan Chatzis is going to work for a goy. Nah, Zok Tiktzais, Tiv Hashem state befeirish that it works. And then, Kum Tiktzais and says that I disagree on the second Akudah of the Bechus as well. Not only do I disagree with his disqualifying Kinyan Chatzis, that was not correct, but what I also don't like, says the Tiktzais, is I don't like his acceptance of Kinyan Agav. I don't think Kinyan Agav is going to work for goy. What's that? Why not? What's wrong with Kinyan Agav? How could we possibly disqualify Kinyan Agav? What could be wrong with Kinyan Agav? La Misecha. That's not talking about Kinyan Agav altogether. That's for Shivan Castle. Shlichus is not Shlichus in Kinyan Agav. What could be wrong with Kinyan Agav? You want to disagree with the Birch Zevach and say that Chatzin does work good, Zosai, but why do you disagree with this solution? You want to disagree with his analysis of the problem, what's wrong with this solution? So the Kitzai has two serious reasons why he's not so sure Kinyan Agav is going to do the trick. You know why? Because there's a machlekes harishayim between the Tais and the Maseches Bava Kama and the Tais and Maseches Kedushin about how serious of a kinyan is Kinyan Agav. What's the source of Kinyan Agav? Anyone know? Anyone know Kedusha Chavav? Have any idea what the source is? Take a look. Chavav and Alach Maseches Kedushin. Yeah, Gemara Chavav and Alach, the Mishnah. So Gemara asks, towards the bottom of the page, 6-7 lines at the bottom, Minon Mili on the Chizki de Makovita Ramavia Matanos with him. Possibly in the very young describes that Yehoshaphat's giving gifts to his kids, and he's giving them land, and even the Talmud, and it's all together. The Gemara says, you see, from here there's a Kinyan called Kinyan Agav. Pasuk in the very young. Whenever you see the Gemara learning out a din from a Pasuk in Nach, that raises a red flag. We're not sure what that means, because we generally don't learn out dinim from Nach. The goal of the Nevi'im, the Ksuvim, was to give us Musa, was to tell us what we're supposed to act, to give us history, to tell whatever is necessary for us to Avodas Hashem, to teach Torah, that was reserved in Chamisha Chamisha Torah. The din of a learned that in Chumash, not learned that from the Vim Ksuvim. So how do we ever understand this idea that a din somehow appears in the middle of nowhere, the middle of the very Yom? So you can understand it one of two ways. Either you can understand it, what?
Maybe it's just a Gilei Melsa.
It means it really existed, the din existed from day one. It was part of Teshuva Peh, it's Halacha Moshe Sinai, that the Pasuk in the very Yom happens to be referring to. When Chazal when the Psukim are being written, so the Anshik Nesek Gdoyla put together the Psukim for the Reyom, so they'd be Mechabit, the Sefer, Ruch HaKodesh. So they're describing, in the middle of the story, they're telling over something that references a pre-existing Din Deraisa. But this is not the Mokor. The Mokor is Kach Nevar Allah HaMashu Sina, Kidam Zad Din Deraisa. Well, maybe no. Maybe they were wrong. What is Kinyan Agav? The Dimitri Rabbanan, Chazal later days, sometime between the days of Meshameh and the days of Divrei Yomim, somebody, some days and somewhere along the way instituted this Dimitri Rabbanan Kinyan. I thought it didn't derive from it. So Taisus in Maseches Bava Kama on Daf Yud Beis assumes that Kinyan Agav was only the Rabbanan. What prompted Taisus to believe that was a complicated Sugi Bava Kama, not a Sugi right now. But Taisus Shita Bava Kama Daf Yud Beis is that Kinyan Agav was the Rabbanan, and Taisus Kedush Bava is clear that it's derive. It's so 2 days ago. So the Tzais was working with the assumption that Kinyan Agav is only Dirabbanan. If Kinyan Agav is Dirabbanan, then the Birch Zevach's pshat in the Rishayim cannot be right. Why is that? What's wrong? What's wrong with Kinyan Dirabbanan? Oh, so he has two hesitations. He says two objections. First of all, he says, if it's only a Kinyan Dirabbanan, how's that going to solve the Bechor problem? We have a problem at that we have to make this animal belong to a goy nida araisa. Because we want to be mafkiyah kedusha of bechor and love of deraisa. Whether or not this animal is kedusha of deraisa, they cannot be not derabbanan. So kayadua says the tzais, far from yadua, but kayadua says the tzais, that to determine the din deraisa, this is the heter, you have to follow the chesh and mishpah din in deraisa, you can't invoke a din in derabbanan. So the tzais says, if Adam goes to derabbanan, that's not going to fly here. The ancient shlema says the tzais, I'm not even sure Adam's ever going to work here altogether, you know why? Because didn't the Rabbanim were generally instituted between who and who? Jews. The Rabbanim have authority to make didn't the Rabbanim for Goyim. Why does the Goyim listen to the Rabbanim? The whole thing doesn't make any sense. Says it says, didn't the Rabbanim calls for Mishayim who said that, so Mishayim said that, the Kinyan the Rabbanim only instituted for Jews, not instituted for Goyim. So the Ketzai has serious, serious reservations with this Kinyan that the Rishayim are describing, whereas the Birch Zevach
assumes the Devar Pasha that this new mysterious kinyan that's going to solve the world's problems of Bechor was a kinyan agav, and he rejected Chatzir because of the Shlichus issue. The Tzai says the exact antithesis. He says agav is rejected on two grounds, because who says it's going to affect Bechor Derais, and who says it even works for going even Bechor with the Rabbanim? Whereas the kinyan that really works is Chatzir. So you name it, you pick it, your choice.
When both of Birch said, well, like, especially Basnan, that is working between the Chatzir, how exactly is that happening? He's saying, you have this land, and all of a sudden my animals are on your land. And
that's right, and now I'm Makti, you know, those animals
work in the Chatzir. But, so King Chatzir would work, like, it would be like meaning Zayla. Like,
what do
you mean? What's my animals,
I'm just having a good. I'm Makti, you know, those animals. King Chatzir is a Maisi Kinyan. It's like Bashir, it's like, oh, it's a Maisi Kinyan. If I, let's say, for example, I want to give you something as a gift. I don't have to give it to you to Bashir. I can put it into your car, put it into your backpack.
First question that Tzav says about Agav, isn't that what we do from a Talpilin? You hold like a real Chon Mos, Chon Mos, Darabon, and then Yeshiva. How is
that? We don't do Agav. I mean, Agav's when you want to sell Karka and a Talpilin.
I know, I'm saying, just regular mortality, you do Mashiach,
right,
and you don't need Maus at all.
Right,
so, that means you don't need to do the Darius Akinan at all.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter. When I buy potatoes from the store, I don't really care whether they're owned in a term or the Rabban. I'm going to make my chult anyway, whether they're owned in the Rice or the Rabban. If I want to make a kin to be Mashiach, I didn't produce the Chor, I better own it in a term.
Different?
Yeah, it's a big difference. With the Rabban, and Hefka is an Hefka, we can do whatever we want in the moment. But says it says, do whatever we want, call Mom, that's not going to get it. Once the name is in the reference, then we better be invoked with their eyes to get the definition.
Yeah. If someone, when he is Kona Chatzir, everything in the Chatzir is Kona through Kinyan Chatzir,
right,
then what's the difference between buying a Chatzir and the Chatzir being Kona, or just Kinyan Agav?
Well, Kinyan Agav applies even if something is not in the Chatzir, but only something that's being transferred at the time of the Kinyan. So let's say if I sell you a Chatzir in China, and I say you land in China, and I say a car in New York, that's okay. Then you don't have to make a nice kinyan on the car. But if I sell you land in China, and then an hour later I want to sell you a car, if the car is in the driveway in China, then it can be nicknamed with a kinyan chatzah. But if my car is in my driveway in Bergenfield, that's not going to fly. Okay? Yeah.
Do we use kinyan agim versus chametz?
Yeah, okay, that's what we're getting. So this whole machlekes, the original machlekes versus Ebrahim Mitzayis, was really explaining to Rishonim who were talking about Mechiris Bechor, Mechiris Bechor, Mechiris Bechor, Mechiris Bechor. Hundreds of years later, a new institution arose in Klal Yisrael called Mechiris Chometz. Now, Mechiris Chometz is alluded to in the Tanoim, there's a Tosefta that talks about Mechiris Chometz, but the Tosefta is talking about one to the blue moon, the guy at the Yitzvah, the guy's on a boat. It's Erev Pesach. He went on his Pesach cruise, and all of a sudden he remembers, Gevalt, I forgot to give it to my chametz. What do I do now? So the Sefer says, so sell all your chametz to the guy on the boat. Sure. You get the impression from Chazal that this was a once in a blue moon practice. Who sold chametz? Between you, what chametz did people own in the olden days? Seriously, well, how much chametz did they own? There was no refrigeration, so nothing's going to last all that long. People didn't have these grandiose businesses. So we'd have a couple of crumbs of chametz, yeah, and you finish. Whatever you didn't finish eating. So you burnt from showing. That was it. That was getting rid of chametz in Erev Pesach. Later, Jews started to get into food businesses. And not just food businesses, but whiskey schnapps business. And that became a whole new ballgame. Now I got tons and tons and tons of schnapps. Then in later years, I got these big catering establishments. I own 15 pizza stores. I got all this stuff sitting, and all these pizza pies sitting in the freezer waiting for the second of Havdalah on Motzoi, Achash, and Pesach, in case Chas V'Shalom, somebody goes more than 3 minutes without having a slice of pizza. So people have loads and loads and loads and loads of chametz in their property. And the Torah is screaming by Rabbi Masi, what do you do? So the Echareim came up with an eitz, and the Echareim said, the same way the Tanoim had this institution of Mechiris Chametz for the guy stuff on the boat, so Bizman Azeh, we're all stuck. It's one big Shas of Chas, everything is a Hefz and Ruba. So we're gonna institute this idea called Mechiris Chametz. That's why in the Rishonim you don't see any idea how to do Mechiris Chametz, because nobody did it. It was mamish started hundreds and hundreds of years later. So came the early Acharonim, when they started to pilple about, we're gonna do Mechiris Chametz, so they were posing the same problem, they had the same practical dilemma that the Rishonim had about Mechiris Chametz. How are we gonna do it? By Rabbi Matzit Deraisa, we have to make sure we don't own this Chametz in the Torah. So how are you gonna do that? So if I have one bottle of schnapps and a box of Cheerios or something, so the easiest way to do it is very simple. I go to the goy and let him do what? let him give me money and do mashicha on it, and sure, that would be great, that would be wonderful. And then Dein Rabbi Yochanan Mishloka, for sure, it belongs to the guy. But it's not practical. Do you have any idea how much chametz is sold as ben hazeh? Mechira's comment said, I participate with a bunch of other rabbanim. It's in the, I think it's in the tens of millions. You're talking about loads and loads and loads and loads, loads of money. But the guy's going to come. Our guy does Mechira's comment, his name is John Brown. He should really do well. He's, I think, 84 already. So he's been doing this for the last 40 years or so. He's going to come every year of Pesach. He's going to knock on everybody's door and pick up. Can I pick up your pizza pie? Can I pick up your box of cereal? Pick up your bottle, 3 bottles of schnapps? So what does he do? He's going to give us kesef. He's going to give us kesef. According to Rabbi Yochanan, he doesn't even own it. According to Rabbi Yochanan, you mishicha, what are you going to do? So Kumti Acharenim and say, well, whatever we did in the olden days in Mechiras Bechor, whatever the Rishonim went to the Mechiras Bechor, we're going to follow the same practice. We're going to be Mechiras Bechor. So what do we do? So we do kinyan kesef because it's easy to do. It may not work, but we do it. Why not? Nothing to lose. But then, to make matters a little bit better, we throw in a few other kinyanim. So another kinyan that we do is we make a kinyan karka also. Kinyan kesef on the karka, or kinyan chivus on the karka, whatever it is. And then we don't know who's right. Is the bichas zevach right or the ketzais right? We don't know whether we should explain to the guy we're doing a kinyan adam or kinyan chatzah. Which one are we doing? You know what we do? Here we do both. Nothing to lose. Might as well do both. Nothing to lose. You know, but in our heart of hearts, we're not 100% sure that anyone's right. Maybe they're both right. Maybe chatzah doesn't work because of the birchas zevach, there's hesitation. Maybe agav doesn't work because of the ketzais hesitation. So maybe we're back to school. Maybe we have nothing going for us. So we get very, 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 very nervous. You know what we do? So we look for other kinyanim. You know what we do? What's another good kinyan? Before we get there, what's another kinyan? A really easy good kinyan, right? It's such an easy kinyan. What's the big deal? So the guy comes, he's a kinyan. What are you doing? Shalom Yisrael. Shalom Yisrael. And that's us, Shalom Akum. So the question is, I post him whether kinyan chalipin works for a Jew or not, whether it works for a guy or not. So Rabbi Tam said, yeah, it works for goyim. The Talmud Kizok, the Talmud Kedushin of Gimel says, yeah, kinyan chalipin works between Jews and goyim also. What's the kash against Rabbi Tam? Who's going to think of a good kash against Rabbi Tam? Isn't this a violation of what magic word? Amisecha. Doesn't Amisecha mean the Kinyani goy don't work for Jews and vice versa? So Rabbi Tam explains you what. And there's another Ketzais that explains you what's proud of Rabbi Tam. Rabbi Tam can go with that one. But the Shach, in Cheshi Mishpat, thought that the kash was better than the teretz. And the Shach says, I'm not so sure that it works between Jews and goyim. Not so simple, not so poshut. And now we start to get very, very nervous. Here we got billions of dollars worth of chametz. We got Bayrobi Mati staring us in the face in 20 minutes and we right on their eyes. We have to make sure we transform this chametz. So kesef, we try, but according to order of Yechon, people, most of the Rishonim, the whole thing doesn't work. Agav, we try, but the Tzais is not so happy with it. Chatzah, we try, but the Zevach crossed it out. Chalipin, we try, and the Shach crossed it out. So we're searching, we're still searching. So we throw in another kinyan for good luck. What we call that? Situmta, it's called. The Gemara says that if you do what's called minik ha-seicher, if you do whatever the derech ha-olam is, how to sell things, the businessmen in the world consider to be a kinyan, that's also good. That's also a nice kinyan. So you know what we do? We shake hands on the deal with Mr. Brown. Problem? Not everyone's so sure that works. Some Achareim say, nah, that's only Midrabanan, King Midrabanan's not going to work. Yeah, we're not so sure that works either. We're striking out. So you know what we do for good luck? We sign a document, which usually doesn't mean anything for Metalfa. You can't sell Metalfa with a Shtar. At least in Jewish law, you can't. But in secular law, you can. You can sign a contract. And that's almost what we call a Dina Dawa Dimachusa, which may or may not work for our purposes either. Who says Dina Dimachusa is good enough for Issa Mehetar? Also unclear. So when all the dust settles, we have multiple kinyanim, and we are hoping for the best and bracing ourselves for the worst. If all of them are wrong, then every single person violates by Rav Matzah Derais every second you own the chametz. Only one of the kinyanim has to be right. Only one. You tell me what that's good. What would the odds makers call? I don't know. You know, one in six shot is good. I don't know. I can't think of those things. As long as one of them is right, we're okay. So we're fairly confident and fairly comfortable that one of the kinyanim is right, and that's how we do Mechiras Chametz. A little bit of a letdown, but that's how Mechiras Chametz takes place, hoping and praying that only one of the kinyanim is right.
I'm assuming that some of the Is there anyone that holds that all of these kinyanim don't work?
Yeah. I mean, any one person holds it all over it? I don't know. I don't know if you pinpoint any one person holds it all over it. I don't know.
Maybe the shach holds that.
Maybe. It could be. There's probably one rabbi since the days of Moshe Rabbeinu that probably holds it all no good. But the overwhelming majority of all the posts is that one of them work. So that's where the minigo element is based. Okay, anyway, rabbi said, so again, so there's a practical ramification, practical consequences of advertising. Okay, yeah.
Wouldn't all these machlokes also have ramifications for kedushin?
What about kedushin?
Also, you need to own it.
I own the ring. Usually when I go to the store and I buy a ring, even if I'm buying from a Goyish jewelry store, I'm giving him cash, and he's giving me the ring. So I have Kes Meshicha together for sure is good, because that's either Rabbi Yechon or Shlomo. That's not Shalom.
You need to actually do a Kes Meshicha.
So you usually do. You go to the store and you pay for something. You want to know if you're paying a credit card. That's what you're worried about. If I pay on my credit card and the credit card hasn't cleared yet, maybe that's not called Kesef. Ooh, that's a very, very touchy topic. Okay, so next time you get married, try to remember to pay either with cash or try to remember to pay with enough time the credit card clears. Okay, good. All right. Okay. Rabbi Sai, and with the effort of your end, you're still married. Okay. Good, Rabbi Sai, any last questions on that sugya before we move on to the next topic? Since we have so much time today to begin the next sugya. Okay. So up until now, we've been talking about Eishtir Vos Akom, which is, again, agreed by everybody, a tem. But then the Gemara goes off on the side in the bottom of the maze of the days. The Gemara asks the following question. The Gemara says, what do you think a pasuk to tell me that goyim are not acceptable for shulichas? Halama li kura? The Gemara asks, what's the 25 lines up in the bottom? So the first one is Yanan. The next one, I'm sorry, next one is Gris. I'm sorry. Halama li kura? The Gemara says, the Gemara says, the Gemara says, the pasuk to svara that a goy can't be shulich to be mafish to the one. The other Rabbi Chiba, Rabbi Rabbi Yechanan, Ain a Evid Nasa Shaliach and Kabbal get me on Baila Shalisha. An Evid Kenaini cannot be a Shaliach to receive a get from the husband to be the Shaliach actually on the air for the wife. Why? Because Evid does get the Kedushin because he has no Shaychas to get the Kedushin. He can't get divorced because he can't get married in the first place. Don't use the Kedushin for Evid Kenaini. So since Shalichas of Gittin and Kedushin doesn't speak to an Evid, the name is possibly Shaliach. How can you possibly be a Shaliach of something you can't do yourself? We'll have to fine tune what kind of svar that is exactly. But the Gemara assumed that's a bit of a posh, Rabbi Yechon said. So just as an Abkhnaimi svara can't be a shliach to Gittin, so to a goy can't be a shliach for Truma, because the goy is no shaykh to Truma. What says, no, it's the rich. So after that, I would say, Evan the lava at Deiru Klau. And Evan is no shaykh to Gittin. He's not even in the ballpark to create a chalice of Gittin. It is possible that a goy can be mafresh truma. It is feasible that a goy can actually do a ma'aseh rosh truma on his own. This not a yichav the kusi shetamik to mason truma. That if a goy owns his own crop, his own grain, assuming it's chayav and truma, we don't even know that. That's another thing we're probably not going to talk about too much. But in theory, a goy could be mafresh truma. So I would have thought that misvara a goy could be who can be mafresh truma should be kosher to be a shaliach. Kamash for one, he can't be because of exerse kosher. So you can have a strange situation. You can have a goy's food that's chayiv in Shumas and Lazarus, but he has to do that for himself. He can't appoint the shliach to do it. We had the shayla a few years ago in town. We had a store that was owned by a goy. It's close since then. It was owned by, it wasn't a regular restaurant, but funny kind of store. And they were selling, they used to sell the smoothies, the fruit smoothies or something. And somehow they wanted to get some of the Israeli fruit, make smoothies out of the Israeli fruit. They had a big problem. The big problem was someone had to be mafresh truma and ma'aseh for them. So normally we'd have a regular Jewish owned store, but the owner's usually not the bar ochin and mafresh truma and ma'aseh. So he'd tell him, point to Mashkiach. So the Mashkiach job is to be mafresh truma and ma'aseh. That's easy. It's a goyish store. So the goyish store is going to point to Mashkiach. That won't work. Even the diyep is not going to work. Because the Jew can't be a shliach for the goy, but the goy is it's still tevel. The mice it was going to destroy it. It's tevel chaladeis. There's a machlekes hatanoim. If a goy owns fruit in Eretz Yisrael, it's a chayv and truma. Right here, it was grew in a kibbutz in the Galilee, whatever. And now it's sitting in Tina, and for sure it has to be for sure tumas and mices. And the only way to do it is to have the goy do it. You have to explain to the non-Jew he's tithing. Going to the lady, you paid the nice shame. This was not going to work out for us.
So we had to come up with a strange practice. We couldn't. We said he can't use Israeli food. Now we always felt bad doing that because the best thing we want to do is part of the certain groups in the United States that don't like to buy Israeli products. That's the last thing you want to be accused of is the Rabbanim in town. So, you know, on the other hand, it's not much a pickle. I mean, it's a very hard thing to do. You can tell the guy is really talking about his mouth, he was a Pfizer, but lays bare. The good news is this all comes. Maybe you mean according to Machafrayim with a guy, a pail, that's a big Kiddush at Machafrayim. Not everybody agrees to Machafrayim. Anyway, getting back to this. So, the Gemara says, the bottom line is there is a din of Eina B'Toiras. Eina B'Toiras applies to the Eber Kenai. Even the Eber Kenai is Kosher B'Shaliach. I can appoint the Eber Kenai to be Mafresh Tumah for me, but I can't appoint them to be a Shaliach for Gerushin because of the din of Eina B'Toiras. So if you take a look at the din of Eina B'Toiras, the example that Rabbi Yechonon gave was Eina B'Nasa Shaliach L'Kabel get me a Baal Shalisha. Now it happens to be that the example that Rabbi Yechonon chose was the shlech with Kabbalah said, yeah, that's the shlech that the woman appoints. But the chora, it could equally have been true about a shlech halacha said, yeah, because after all, take two to tango. You need, if you don't want to have the husband and wife show up for the get, if neither of them wants to be present, then the husband can appoint the shlech halacha, and the wife can appoint a shlech le Kabbalah, and sure. So the chora, if I was reading the Gemara, I would say that, well, just as Rabbi Yechonon disqualifies the shlech Isha, if it's an Eved, because it's an Eved Teiras, would they not mean the Shlech Habal as well? Bechayit doesn't make any sense at first glance for the friendship between the two. That's exactly Rashi. Rashi is the version of the Gittin, that it's the same thing. Even though Rabbi Yechonon said the Kabbalah, the Kabbalah's not. It's really a gift. Beit Kabbalah, Beit Mechavach. That's what I would have said also. And yet the Rishayim quote from the Rimagash, the Hilge Rimagash, we've quoted before, Talmud from the Rif, Rabbi of the Rambam's father, Zot the Rimagash, nope. And Gash read the Gemara textually. I'm Rabbi Yechonon, ain't ever asked of the Kabbalah get. Kabbalah is a problem. Abba Halacha to get with you. If the husband wants to appoint him, can I negate him from the hate? That would be perfectly okay. Nothing wrong with that. And the Rabbi Gash asks of himself, Maishno, what's the difference? He starts to explain, we're not really sure what he means. And then the Ramban tries to explain a little bit more, but I'm not sure what he means. And some of them walk away with this picture from Yisri Shem, the Rabbi Gash, the Ramban, against Rashi. There's some fundamental difference playing out between Shlech LaHalacha Seget, Shlech LaKabbalah Seget, that is responsible for this distinction LaHalacha. That some of the din of Eina B'Toiras concerns us, but Kabbalah doesn't concern us by Halacha, you know, we don't really understand. Hopefully, at the Shem next week, we have to start the Sugya really from this Nechuda. What is this Shlech LaHalacha? Rashi didn't buy it, but what is this Shlech LaHalacha from the Shem? We'll try to